Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The Bill of Rights, just what are they? What do they mean for Americans today? Are they still prevalent? Are they being enforced? Are our school students learning what they are, what they mean, their history? In fact, does the average American know what their rights are? On December 15th, we will be celebrating the 228th birthday of the ratification of the Bill of Rights. My guest today is Karis Coker of Delaware County. She's a retired homeschool mom. She's co-chair of the Bill of Rights Bicentennial Committee and an APT certified tour guide. Thanks, Karis, for being with us.
Oh, I really appreciate the opportunity, Diane.
And APT tour guide, what does that involve? Where do you lead tours mostly?
It's the Association of Philadelphia Tour Guides, which is an organization in Philadelphia that offers a certification program, which was rather rigorous, and it has become the national standard model for other cities for certifying, not licensing, but certifying tour guides. And it encompasses a broad history and many facets of the city, from architecture to immigration and so forth. But my particular interest, as I'm sure you're not surprised, is in the Revolutionary War era,
mm-hmm.
but especially, and my byline is, exploring our legacy of liberty and faith.
Okay.
How those two are interwoven.
Exactly. I mean, in Philadelphia played a role because there for a while it was the capital of the nation.
Oh, yes, yes.
It was the
fifth largest city in the world.
Pardon?
It was the fifth largest city in the world by 1780.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And things like the Declaration of Independence, Independence Hall is there, and things like that. Yeah. Played a critical role. Now, do you have to also, you said certification, but you also mentioned the word licensing. So you have to have a license to also be a tour?
No, I said they offered. The city of Philadelphia had passed a law that you would have to have a license, and in lieu of that, they fought it in the court. It was fought in the court, but they did then provide a program for certification, which those tests are offered annually or more often as needed for folks who are interested in acquiring that certification.
Okay, neat. You know, we're talking about the Bill of Rights today, and I know that you're very much involved in promoting the Bill of Rights and in educating people on the Bill of Rights. Why do you feel this is so important?
Well, I've always just sort of taken it for granted as part of my inheritance as a red-blooded American. But back in 1990, coming up to the Bill of Rights bicentennial, my husband Eric and I heard there was to be a grand display sponsored by the Philip Norris Company down at the Air Force Base in Dover, Delaware.
Mm-hmm.
So we loaded up the children and went down. We began going through that exhibit with great excitement and anticipation, and we came out the other side very troubled and disturbed by the manner in which they were presenting it, which there's not time to go into detail, but let me just say it would be a total ACLU-sanctioned perspective. It was dreadful, and we thought, is this the only thing there's going to be? So we began an effort even before the end of 1990, and in February of the following year, we approached folks in the management at Independence Park, and there were no plans there for the Bill of Rights bicentennial. You know, they had the whole bicentennial commission for the Constitution with Warren Burger, Chief Justice Warren Burger, and so forth. But other than just to display a copy upstairs in an out-of-the-way building, they had no other plans. Our idea of a National Day of Thanksgiving for the blessings of civil and religious freedom did not exactly fly, but they did very quickly put together a program, which I appreciate what they did in taking notice of our interest and our pointing out the absence of what ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they did put together a program. Now, the direction that took is something else. On the day, let me just sum it up by saying that their guest of honor on the day of their observances in December 15th, 1991, were the leading actors in a summer-long production of inherit the wind.
Oh, you're kidding.
Which is the trial of 1925. It's commonly referred to as the monkey trial.
Right.
But the trial that this inherit the wind completely distorted that trial and the record and the historical evidence.
Yeah.
It really was a slap at the creator. So here they are on the bicentennial of the Bill of Rights, honoring the people who are scoffing and mocking the creator.
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, you know, we're talking, but we know that there's a lack of knowledge. I mean, everyone hears about, you know, pleading the Fifth, so that's the Fifth Amendment, and First Amendment, Second Amendment, we hear a lot about those. But what do you, you know, you said the ACLU very much played a hand in that, the Bill of Rights
exhibit
in Dover, the Air Force Base there. Do you think the ACLU plays a role in what is being taught to our school children today?
Without a question, but I don't think that that is limited to the ACLU. Let me just say that I, for example, the NEA would have the same goals as articulated by the ACLU in what they would put into the curriculum. I don't think it took the direct input of the ACLU. And I was alerted to that years ago in 1980 when I was expecting our first child. And I attended childbirth classes, and they happened to be held in the very same room, it was rented by the instructor, that the local NEA chapter met in. And it was at the time of a leading election between two individuals. The name Barbara Futrell comes to mind, but I can't remember that exactly. But there were two different parties advocating for the position of leadership in the NEA. But neither one of their, and so they both had a giant poster printed out with their agenda and their program and what they would do if they were elected president.
Right.
And they both just presumed that our children belonged to them to mold and make this nation into what they wanted.
Into what they wanted, yes, not what the Founding Fathers envisioned. Yeah, and that's very true, you know, even more so now, that they think that the children are theirs to bring up as they see fit, not as the parents would like for the child to be brought up. But again, you homeschooled 10 children, right? You and Eric?
Yes.
Yeah, and you
homeschooled
them all.
I didn't do all that I had hoped to do when we set out to do it. But
well,
I say I saved them from something, and they've all done well.
And it's even worse now in the public school, but that's a whole different program talking about public schools. But,
right.
You know, so why do you think it's so important that we understand what the Bill of Rights are, and do we see a loss of rights in our country?
Do we see a loss? Well, I tell you what, just take a copy of the Bill of Rights and go through it, and with a yellow marker, strike through everything that's been weakened or removed, and you won't have much left.
No.
It's an alarming thing to look at the Bill of Rights in that way.
Yeah. Well, if you see it, especially you look about the freedom of religion and the attacks on that, and that's the First Amendment.
Right.
And, you know, and especially with this so-called same-sex marriage being legalized by the Supreme Court in 2015, and, you know, freedom of speech, and, of course, the press says that President Trump is attacking the freedom of press, even though I don't think that's accurate. And the
Our current press is just plain prostitution.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So, anyway.
That's very true. And we do definitely have alternatives to the print media, and we have alternatives to what's labeled the mainstream media, much more than what, you know, they had even, you know, Americans had even 20 years ago. So we see attacks on the Second Amendment, increased attacks on the Second Amendment, and the underhanded way in which they're attacking those with these red flag laws.
Well,
and,
there's a strong movement in opposition to that.
Yeah, good. Explain what a red flag law is and how that would negatively impact our Second Amendment.
Well, red flag laws are if someone is suspicious that you might be upset or that you might pose a threat to anyone,
or someone views you as a
local sheriff or law enforcement officer, and they'll come and take your guns first and then ask questions later.
Yeah, it may take you years.
And there have been already people who have died because they've, understandably, this is out of the blue. There's no warning. The officers show up to take their weapons, and they have done no wrong.
Yeah. All law-abiding citizens, law-abiding American citizens who've legally obtained their guns are being their guns are being confiscated, or like you said, some are losing their life because they've gotten
Right.
So it's just mind-boggling to me. Why do you think there's such an attack on the Bill of Rights? Because we all know, at least anyone with any common sense knows, that the bad guys are still going to get those guns.
Well, it's not, the laws against guns are not to stop crime. The laws against guns are to stop people who would resist tyranny.
And wasn't that one of the, refresh my memory here. Isn't there something in the Constitution or something that one of the founding fathers says, I think it was Jefferson, says something about that basically if our government starts going haywire, we have a right to change governments, something. I mean,
well,
I totally butchered that.
Well, that's in the Declaration of Independence.
Okay.
When a government shows a long abuse of the rights of the people, it's evidence that it's not going to consider the rights of
the people
and disregard them.
Yeah.
Then it says the right, even the duty of the people to make a change.
To make a change. And how many people know what the Declaration of Independence says? I mean, I guess I'm one of them who doesn't know it very well, since I just butchered that. But
you know, that brings up another matter. And next year is going to be 2020, the 400th anniversary of the Mayflower Compact, which was the first document of government, self-government, but a government of any kind, drafted in the New World.
Wow.
Now, Jamestown had a government, but that was drafted in England, and they brought it with them.
Mm.
So the Mayflower Compact is the first document of self-government. It's the foundation stone of American government. And you go from that document to the Declaration of Independence, to the Constitution, and then the Bill of Rights was the finishing touch to those. But the Mayflower Compact is certainly brought in there as laying a foundation for the kind of government that we would want and that we're supposed to have.
It's interesting that when the Mayflower Compact is, I guess tragic is a better word, but when the Mayflower Compact is mentioned in public school history books, all references to God are removed. They kind of put ellipses there where, you know, there's a mention of God. Again,
like what the local township manager did with a resolution we had given them on William Penn back in 1994. He said, yes, we'll pass it. And then I'm sitting there and they're reading the ordinance out loud. They took out all references to his Christianity. And of course I objected, and he said, well, there are some people who will be offended by that. I said, but that's his life. That's his record.
It's his history.
That's the truth of it.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway.
We're so afraid to offend someone except those who stand upon our founding principles, stand upon our nation's true history, or those who stand upon Christian principles. I mean, it's okay to offend them, but we're afraid to offend someone else. I mean, that's where we are in today's world, unfortunately.
You know, Diane, going back to that First Amendment, and Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Most people don't even know what established religion means.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, of course, I like the history of that word, anti-disestablishmentarian. That has a true working out in history of how that term came about. It wasn't a made-up word, but anyway, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And it's very interesting that it is correct that our Bill of Rights as we have it had its roots in and was adapted from primarily the Virginia Declaration of Rights, which was primarily the work of George Mason. But the original article in the Virginia Declaration of Rights pertaining to the freedom of conscience and freedom of religion was in Patrick Henry's handwriting.
Oh.
And there's a comment from him, I don't know at what point in his life or career this was made, but he's, in speaking of freedom of religion, which he argued from the 1765 on, he argued on behalf of ministers who were not Anglican, who were being whipped, jailed, fined, and punished for not having a, quote, license from the Anglican Church.
And which was the Church of England.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And he defended them at no cost and sometimes
wow.
paid their fines without them even knowing it. He was a great advocate for religious liberty.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, freedom of conscience and freedom of religion, except where, under color of religion, the overthrow of the government is sought.
The overthrow of the government is what?
Is pursued.
Okay.
Like, in other words, where somebody under the guise of freedom of religion
mm-hmm.
is ultimately seeking to destroy
overthrow
the government. He
wow.
can see how the people, subversive people, would use freedom of religion as a way to promote their agenda that would ultimately destroy our free government.
And we see that right now.
We absolutely do.
I mean, doesn't the federal government recognize secular humanism as a religion?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. And they're definitely.
This may be way off the wall, but I posted something about Jane Fonda and her escapades in Vietnam the other day, and someone objected that it was not really fair for me to pull the worst event out of somebody's life and judge them based on that. I said, well, there she does have a couple of other items in her life that would compete for this attention. One would be her marriage to Tom Hayden, who was the one who drafted the manifesto for the Students for Democratic Society, that radical bunch. And her second would be her marriage to Ted Turner, who proclaimed himself a humanist and said that he was going to replace the Ten Commandments with his own Big Ten.
Hmm.
So, yes, there are other worst events in her.
Yeah. Well, she was just arrested at, I think it was a pro-abortion rally, I think. She was just, anyway, the 80-some-year-old Jane Fonda was just arrested just recently at a rally, a protest that she was involved in.
She just wants to be back in the news.
Yeah.
So
she needs to just retire. Don't see that happening, though, for sure.
I'd like to see her go to trial. But
that would be very good if she did do that. Even with what you brought up with Patrick Henry and the way that shortly after the establishment of the U.S., weren't there still state churches
place? And what this law restricted, it does say Congress shall make no law.
Right.
That law restricted the federal government from imposing a particular religion. But yes, you're correct. There were, for example, in Massachusetts, they had a congregational, they had a state church.
Mm-hmm.
In Virginia, they had, even though there was freedom extended to other people, yet there were state churches that were financed by the state, out of the state treasury.
Okay.
That's what occasioned that huge quarrel, which really, I don't want to take up all your time on this matter, but where essentially Jefferson and Madison get credit for religious freedom when really Henry laid the foundation.
Patrick Henry, wow.
He wanted to give people the option of where to direct their taxes to the congregation of their choice. And it wasn't that he was opposed to religious freedom.
Right. He just wanted to give the people the freedom to support whichever religion or whichever church they wanted. Wow.
You know, and even when people, I'm looking here at a copy of the Bill of Rights, and even when people read, if they pick one up and they read it and say, hey, this is really good, but the depth of their comprehension of what it means without a history of why that is so important, of what happens when you don't have Article 1, what happens when soldiers are quartered in your house, what happens when you're not secure in your person's houses and papers. Well, then you have the IRS that calls for anything at once, but that's a different story. or what happens when you don't have a right to an impartial jury, or when you don't have a right to defend yourself, or what happens when you are required to provide evidence against yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are reasons why every one of these is in there.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's so important that we understand that, but it's not being taught.
No, it's not being, and where it is being taught, it's being distorted. And they have redefined the words of it.
Yeah.
For example, just very simply, what does make no law respecting an establishment of religion? Well, dear me, you can tell by the people who wrote this spoke very freely and openly and publicly of God and his hand in life and government and their accountability to him.
Yeah, but kids are being, and I think the average American even today believes that the Founding Fathers were all deists.
But that's another part. You're right.
Yeah.
Or if they acknowledge it, they'll say, well, it was what was culturally necessary to be successful. It was just a nod of the head to the religious crowd that they want.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so not true.
Oh, that's for sure. All they have to do is read some of the original writings, not some of the writings in some of these history books or so-called history books that the kids are being exposed to.
Even Washington's own appointment that his tomb, that his gravesite have engraved above it, I am the resurrection and the life.
Wow.
He directed that to be inscribed above his tomb.
Wow. And that's still on there?
At Mount Vernon. You can go see it. Yes, at his tomb there. It's a very moving ceremony where they go and lay it.
I didn't know if they had if they covered it up or whatever.
It's still there.
The ACLU would like
part
to.
Of it. You know, Mount Vernon gets no federal money, which is good.
That's very good. Then the federal government can't
keep it that way.
Yeah, that's for sure. Unlike Thomas Jefferson's place. So how can we become educated on the importance of the Bill of Rights and how can we convey that to others?
Well, there is, and I won't say that I agree with everything carte blanche by any means, but there are some resources, and most particularly after we started a banquet back in 92, which was the first year after the bicentennial, because it appeared that they were going to forget the Bill of Rights Day and its bicentennial entirely. There was to have been no public observance of that event or that milestone. So there was some at Independence Park, but it wasn't even announced to the public until the day of the event.
So why is the big push to basically eliminate the Bill of Rights? I guess so Americans don't know what their rights are.
Because the people who are not knowledgeable of their rights and of the reasons for those rights will more readily and easily submit to tyranny.
Trying to get an American populace that does not know their rights, and that thus they won't know if their rights are being taken away.
And, you know, another big mistake, Diane, is the misdirection of the foundations of liberty under God to this libertine. Our founding fathers did not pour out their blood and sacrifice their honor and their fortunes to procure the right for people to be lewd and to live vile lives.
Right.
That's not what they were not. In fact, they had and promoted laws against a libertine life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, the other day someone made the comment to me about living my life according to the freedom of my freedom of conscience, and they'll live their life according to their conscience. But it was obvious that they were trying to ignore their conscience.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a big difference in freedom of conscience, which William Penn laid the foundation stone for that concept in America. Freedom of conscience for a desire to please God, and freedom from conscience for a total disregard of God. Freedom of conscience is not freedom from conscience.
No, it's not. And that's very true, very well put. So have any good resources that you could point our listeners to?
Okay, I would recommend going to the Bill of Rights Institute.org.
Okay.
They started in the late 1990s. They have a lot of resources there. They have profiles of Americans, and now there's a lot on there that I wouldn't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
But it, and then also the National Center for the Constitution, if you have an informed tour guide to take you through their exhibit, it gives you some foundation, but it's more an exhibit in how it has been distorted than in how it...
The National Center actually has how the Bill of Rights has been distorted.
Their presentation, their view that they present is a distorted view. It's an ACLU view.
Okay, I gotcha.
That's why I say you need someone to go through it with you quietly.
So we need to go through it with you.
Okay, of course, sure. I'm on board.
Yeah, okay. Wow. Yeah, because I was going to be, I was shocked that the National Constitution Center would actually have a, you know, had an exhibit that laid out how the Bill of Rights was being distorted. I was shocked. So now, but I understand what you're saying.
Yes.
The tour guide would distort what it really is, basically.
And if I can illustrate another very disappointing direction at the American Museum, or the Museum of the American Revolution that's in Philadelphia. And their collection was started by Reverend Burke, who was the one who built the Washington Memorial Chapel, and all of that collection, the majority of that collection, which he worked to acquire, was at the Washington Memorial Chapel with the Valley Forge Historical Society.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it was the groundwork, the foundation collection of the Museum of the American Revolution in Philadelphia. And when you go through the exhibits, there's so much. It's what they present, except for a couple of items, which I take great exception to, is very good. But God is not in that picture.
Mm.
He's not there. And then when you get to the end is the astonishing distortion. It says that the American Revolution is an ongoing revolution, and it continued into the Civil War, it continued into the women's right to vote, it continued into the Civil Rights Movement, and now it's ongoing into the LGBT movement.
That's in there.
That's the wording that you hear.
Well, right, yeah.
As you come
that
to
you
the very conclusion of the exhibit.
Oh, my goodness.
But there are wonderful things there that are wonderful to see. I mean, and that collection was put together by a God-fearing man who had respect for what those people fought for, which was true liberty under God, and not for freedom from your conscience.
Right, right. So we have to be careful. When we go to historic sites, we have to be careful what is being taught.
Right.
What is being told us. We need to know our history. So I do encourage folks to at least read the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, to read those Bill of Rights on December 15th, which is, of course, the 228th anniversary or birthday of the Bill of Rights ratification of the states.
Can I give you one other sweet connection here?
Uh-huh, yeah.
James Madison, there's a wonderful book published about this. I don't have it at my fingertips. He is a descendant of William Tyndale's sister.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You said James Madison is?
James Madison, who's the one who nursed the Bill of Rights through Congress after he had opposed the need for them, but he had to make an election campaign promise that, yes, if you'll elect me, I'll put a Bill of Rights onto the Constitution.
Right, right. Wow.
And he kept that promise.
Good.
So he's the one who arranged the wording of those first 10 amendments.
So he's a descendant of William Tyndale. Is that what you said?
William Tyndale's sister.
Yeah.
William Tyndale
okay.
had no children. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Fantastic. Wow. Nice history lesson. Appreciate all your knowledge, Karis, of all this, all the information that the majority of Americans don't have an inkling of her history.
And can I give you two other instances real quick?
Okay.
I just remembered them. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's fine.
First Principles Press. I think it's .org. FirstPrinciplesPress.org. It might be .com. And another one is Reclaim Liberty. And I don't know if that's .org or .com. But both of those have excellent, excellent online resources pertaining to founding documents, American government, and the Bill of Rights.
Okay,
First Principles Press and Reclaim Liberty.
Okay, good. That's good. Because I like to send folks to good websites that are accurate when it comes to our history, because our history is so distorted. It's tragic for this nation that our kids are being taught, and graduates are coming out running for public office who have absolutely no idea where this nation came from and the sacrifices that were made to give us the liberties that we have and that we're losing or that are being distorted because we don't know our history. That's just tragic to me. Do you guys have a Facebook page or anything that folks can check into?
It's not been very well tended thus far, but we hope to do better.
Okay.
Both for the Bill of Rights Bicentennial Committee, and then there's information about the American Liberty Tours on AmericanLibertyTours.com.
Okay.
And the Facebook page for them.
Okay, AmericanLibertyTours.com. Give some more information on your tours. Fantastic. Okay, thanks so much, Karis. I really appreciate it. And
thank you for your work, Diane.
Yeah, you take care, and I'll see you in a couple days.
All right, take care.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.